During the Trump administration, judges at many levels, including the U.S. Supreme Court, were the target of the then-president. He was often critical of decisions and rulings that didn't line up with either his views or those of the Republican Party when a judge or justice appointed by a Republican didn't vote that way. So how independent can our judiciary be when there are political appointments and when strong criticism of rulings is coming from the very top of the electoral chain? Arizona Supreme Court Justice Clint Bowlick wrote about the concept of an independent judiciary recently and is with me to talk about that, along with Arizona's system of merit selection. Justice Bowlick, what is the legal line for a judge or justice to speak out about current issues, and what are your personal thoughts on those standards?
Well, we do have broad latitude to speak out on issues, particularly issues of concern to the legal system. And most judges don't go anywhere close to the line. But the two main areas, first of all, you're not supposed to, as a judge, say anything that would indicate that you have prejudged a case. And also, you're not supposed to make political endorsements or statements of that matter. Apart from that, you have pretty broad latitude. My court is an especially public court in the sense that we hold oral arguments outside of the court four times a year. We open things up to questions and answers, and you can only imagine some of the questions that we get. And we really try to be visible in the community. And I think that that's very, very important because our judicial system is so precious to us as Americans, and it's under attack. And so I think that when judges are visible, when we speak on issues of civics and other issues of concern to the legal system, I think it only supports the belief in the public that we have a fair judiciary.
Could I get your perspectives on when President Trump specifically, obviously other people have done it too, attacked some members of the judiciary and Chief Justice Roberts spoke back, reprimanded him, whatever it may have been? What did you make of that sort of exchange? Is that important for maintaining an independent judiciary?
Well, you know, we are fair game. Our decisions affect the lives and rights of every American. And so I think that it's fair game for people to criticize us when they don't like our opinions. Of course, President Trump went certainly further than I can remember any president going in making those types of attacks, but other presidents have made the courts a campaign issue, and that's totally appropriate. I actually thought that it was entirely proper for Chief Justice Roberts to speak back to the president and say, "Hey, we are not political creatures. We are not people who decide cases on the basis of our partisan affiliation. We're an independent court." And I was glad that he stuck up for the court. And I wish more judges would do exactly that.
Arizona has had a merit selection system, which has received high praise. And there, as far as it's gone about, I mean, there's still obviously a political angle to it. If there's a Republican governor versus Democratic governor, that may in fact affect which way that person's going to lean. And at the federal level, of course, people are concerned that, are you going to choose someone who has this particular record on cases that matches a particular party? Now, once someone is on the court, of course, that independence can be a different aspect. The person, obviously, we hope is very thoughtful and that sort of thing. Would you weigh in on that, the Arizona system versus the federal system?
So I love the merit selection system. And when my wife and I were deciding where to live when we left Washington, D.C., after many years there, one of my reasons for loving Arizona, in addition to the weather, was that the court system is superb. It's high quality and very, very fair. And that, I think, is a function of merit selection, where anyone who is qualified may apply, and where a commission sends a certain number of names to the governor, who has to choose from those names. And the commission that chooses those candidates is comprised of citizens as well as lawyers. It has to be bipartisan. And the lists that they send to the governor also have to be bipartisan. And we face retention elections every 6 years. I think that's a terrific system. The worst system is the system that we have in a number of states, and that is where judges are actually elected. And they sometimes have partisan elections. And when I was talking about how important it is not to prejudge cases, you know, these judges have to raise money from people and they have to make campaign promises. And those are absolutely deadly. So I know there are people who don't like the merit selection system. And to paraphrase Churchill speaking about democracy, merit selection is the worst possible system except for all of the others.
In the recent piece you wrote, The Washington Times.
Yes.
One point that you mentioned FDR, the attempted court packing, and then, of course, the discussion of whether certain liberals and progressives want President Biden and Congress to try to do the same thing. There is criticism here in Arizona that the legislature kind of did that with Governor Ducey in office, adding a couple of justices. Do you see those as parallel tracks?
So I do see some overlap. I was the last justice appointed to the court when it was a five-member court, and all five of us opposed expanding the size of the court, mainly on the grounds that we didn't need two more judges. Now that we have them, we love them, and there's probably more vibrant back and forth. You know, with seven justices, you get more opportunities to have dissenting opinions and that sort of thing. So in that regard, it definitely was a plus. But certainly, we did not think that that was necessary, and we took a public stand on that. The one thing that differentiates the Arizona situation from the U.S. situation, the federal situation, is that our court was always expected to have seven members at some point as our population grew. Our building was built 25 years ago, and even though we only had five members of the court at that time, it was built for seven. We have seven spots on the bench. We have seven judicial chambers. So unlike the U.S. Supreme Court, which I think most people expect to be a nine-member court in perpetuity, we were expected to expand at some point to seven. And because of our merit selection system, it is much more difficult for a governor to determine, to dictate the composition of the court than it is at the federal level.
That is Clint Bolick. He is an Arizona Supreme Court justice. Thank you so much for taking the time, Justice Bolick. Great to talk with you.
Steve, it's great to talk to you again.